Our first feature this week was written by Derek James, who looked back on the early days of BBC Radio Norfolk. It's read for us by Jenny Pierce.
It was on September the 11th, 1980, that BBC Radio Norfolk, the first station to serve a large county, started to broadcast and develop into one of the most popular and respected in the land. We switched on our radios to listen to John Mountford, already a well-known local BBC presenter, at the Norwich Tower controls in the city. TV and radio presenter Ian McMasters watched on as 11-year-old Duane Trower from Outwell and 7-year-old Andres Hughes from Hemsby cut the tape to open the station. Terry Wogan later presented his Radio 2 morning show from the studios, and our radio station was up and running. This was the 21st BBC local station to be opened and the first to be added to the chain since the early 1970s. Our listening habits changed forever. We loved tuning in to listen to the shows, the presenters and their guests, all members of the Norfolk family. A station which offered warmth and quality and also told you if the buses and trains were running late, where the roads were blocked, and what the weather was going up to. Remember Stan Morgan? In a foreword to a book, The First 10 Years, published in 1990 and edited by our own Keith Skipper, former EDP reporter, John Timpson described how he had been as exasperated as anyone else at the way the BBC in London largely ignored our existence. He singled out events such as gales and storms, saying, "This is where BBC Radio Norfolk really comes into its own. I rely on it greatly, even in normal times, but particularly during emergencies." In the beginning, the station had two great men at the helm, manager Mike Cheney and news editor Ian Hyams. Mr. Timpson said, "One of the pleasures of returning to Norfolk was to hear the leisurely tones of Don Shepherd at Sunday lunchtime, introducing Dad's favourite tunes. The unflagging fluency of Keith Skipper on weekdays and the serendipitously named Ollie Day entertaining the youngsters from the Lark's End. Better still, there are two Norfolk-born listeners who come in or telephone to talk about themselves or local goings-on or the brain tub village of the week. The true Norfolk accent is heard nowhere else in the country. Full marks to the BBC Radio Norfolk for preserving and encouraging it," said John. On Sundays, there was a religious news magazine programme and its more thoughtful discussion shows, including phone-ins on important subjects, provided valuable balance. Writing back in 1990, John added, "I congratulate BBC Radio Norfolk on its achievement over the last decade, and I am grateful to it for the information and enjoyment it has given me." As for the future, may Stuart White continue to summon the Bride of the Week out of her bath to discover if the proposal was one of a knee job, and may Ray Cossey continue to baffle me with his clues to the Golden Nugget winners. In those days, about 250,000 people in Norfolk tuned in to the station during the average week to listen to the likes of John Taylor, Tom Thurston, Chris Durden, Ray Luce, Charles Henderson, Graham Humphreys, Mike Hicks and the rest, experts on so many subjects. Then, of course, there were the regular presenters, including David Clayton and Neil Walker, who won the prestigious Sony Radio Award for their Norfolk Airline programme, a huge honour. Not forgetting the great Rob Bonnet, Roy, "What's for tea, Mother?" Waller in the studio and at Carrow Road, Wally Webb, Tony Mallion, the straight-talking John Mills, and so many more. Oh, and I almost forgot, Major Egbert Gladstone Pyle of Wanglingham Hall, a man worth listening to. There were also the early risers, groups of listeners who went on holidays across the world, and the old car rally. As for Radio Norfolk in 2023, let's just say there have been a number of unwelcome changes. Mind you, it's good to hear Chris Gorham and the rest of the team in the morning and at the football.
Thank you, Jenny. I'm sure that will bring back memories to many of our listeners.